Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's up? It's about that time. Can you guys contain your sniffles, please? Thank you. you're listening to the NFL Fantasy Live podcast. James Coe here. Got a packed house. We're actually doing this in front of a live studio audience today. I'm excited. We've got the franchise is in the building.
Hey. I'm here. I've been looking at the numbers all morning.
Oh, boy. The Wiz Kid from Wisconsin, Alex Gellhar, in the building.
What an interesting start to the episode.
It's going to be fun
this
today.
This is going to be a bad show.
Oh, boy. MG, my guy, Marcus Grant. What's going on?
I don't even know.
Okay, Can I just say, when we came up here, it was me and Harmon and Harmon's sister, who's behind the glass with Gellhar right now. And everything was dark. None of the lights were on.
Yes.
And we were like, oh, man, Gellhar doesn't even have anything fired up, not doing his job as usual, blah, blah, blah. Just joking around.
Right.
Not joking.
And then Marcus pops up from behind the desk in the darkness. He's like, oh! Scares the crap out of all of us hiding up here.
Wait, is that true?
Yes, that happened.
I'm just going to go home now because I've done enough for the day.
Scared us.
Pretty good.
I'm done for the day.
Oh, my God.
I don't have a good startle response. I get very... very frightened.
This is terrific. We have Matt Harmon in the building as well. What's going on, pal?
Oh man, I feel good. Thanksgiving was yesterday, and
you went big yesterday.
I'm fat, hungry, or I'm fat, happy, and hungover.
Oh,
I feel good.
There you go.
I was gonna say hungry.
I'm getting a little hungry.
I'm getting a little hungry too.
And again, the live studio audience as well.
Yeah, my sister is here.
We might have to bring her in for a guest spot, I think, during Daily Daps.
Does she have...
Nice.
Haven't embarrassed her yet.
Yeah, I know. Does she also have wide receiver data for us?
I doubt it. Okay. I highly doubt that. Right. But we do have some things she does need to talk about later.
Oh, interesting.
What a tease.
But we'll get to that.
We will react to the Thursday day games. Thursday?
Thursday day?
How about Thanksgiving day games as
sure.
well?
Sure.
We will have... Franchise's fiery phoner. Yes, we will. We will have deep sleepers for those of you as well, considering that it is Friday. You need some desperation plays. We got your deep sleepers covered. We'll go EDG as well every damn game. But as always, we start the show with your top headlines.
The camera highlights in the world of sports.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Whistles go woo!
I like turtles.
We continue to follow breaking news.
Watch the news. Because I'm a kid.
So y'all need to have your kids, have your wife.
All right, this just came down the news wire. Jordan Reed reportedly has a grade 3 AC joint separation. It's one of the worst shoulder separations that you can have. It's a dislocated shoulder, basically. But it's one of the worst grades that you could possibly get. He doesn't necessarily need surgery. They haven't talked about a timeline if he's going to miss any games. Maybe he misses nothing. We saw him get injured there in the first quarter and then came back in the second half, guys. And, I mean, he dominated. 10 catches, 95 yards, a couple touchdowns, including one massive one-handed diving grab for 30-plus yards. I don't know what to make of the injury news, but a grade 3 separation is no bueno.
What a beast.
I mean, this just happened, so – you obviously have not had time to reach out to one of your 15 doctor friends that apparently you have. So we're kind of working in the dark here. But if he does miss time, I mean, that's probably good news for the rest of the players because there's just so many options in the Washington offense right now. And Vernon Davis would come right back on our radar.
Ooh.
He produced well when Reed was out last time because he was already hurt this year earlier. And, you know, he was also playing, you know, producing when Reed was even in the lineup.
Right.
Right.
It's true.
When we previewed the Thanksgiving games we recorded it on Wednesday, Marcus was talking about how Reed was sort of due for that huge blow-up game that he hadn't had yet.
Boom.
And I would say that Thanksgiving was it.
Feel like it happened.
But on the flip side.
Did it happen, though?
It happened.
It happened.
I'm looking at the numbers right now and can confirm it did happen.
On the flip side, this is the guy you knew when you drafted Jordan Reed, if you reached for him in the fourth round or whatever it was, that
right.
He's one of these guys that is not that durable. So
that's true as well. All right, let's go to Buffalo. Sammy Watkins could return Sunday versus the Jags. He practiced this week in a limited capacity. Rex Ryan says Sammy Watkins' snaps would be limited if he does play. Plus, the Jags got this character by the name of Jalen Ramsey, who's pretty good.
Yeah.
I wouldn't play him this week, obviously, but, I mean, stash him makes a whole heck of a lot of sense. His schedule, he's got Oakland next week. That's nice. That's not bad at all. If you have Sammy Watkins, hopefully you picked him. If he's out there on the waiver wire, go get him right now. Rob Gronkowski practiced in a limited capacity Thursday with a perforated lung / chest injury, whatever you want to call it. He is considered day-to-day. It's at least possible he plays versus the Jets. What do you guys do there?
If he plays, you play him.
Yes.
I mean, I think that's
that's some good hashtag analysis.
You like that?
That's why we pay you the big bucks.
Wait, you get paid?
Oh.
Well, I'm actually a volunteer.
So, look, if he plays, of course, he can play, and there's always the fear that maybe he's not 100%
right,
and they go somewhere else. But it's one of those things where when he's out on the field, if you sit him and he puts up a big number, that's kind of on you.
Mm. Well, I think it's more a concern of, is he going to be a decoy? Is he going to be used in a full, number of snaps?
True, but, in the range of outcomes for Gronk is always the possibility of him putting up a big number in any circumstance.
That's true.
It's too much of a risk to take to sit him knowing who he is and what he means. What he means to that offense. I mean, even watching them against the 49ers last week, when he wasn't there, the Patriots won because they are a superior team to the 49ers, but you could tell at times that
as
offense
the
looked
rest of the league.
True.
Sources?
my eyes? But you could see that offense looked different when he wasn't there. They kind of bogged down at parts during the game when it looked early on like they might just run away. So
I do think it's a high risk, high reward. To your point, though, I wouldn't even be surprised if they only bring him in goal line packages.
Right.
Yeah, I was going to say, if they're going to limit his snaps in any way, when he's on the field, it'll probably be in scoring position.
Yeah,
so
it's probably true.
The other caveat with Gronk is he goes in one of the later Sunday afternoon games.
Ooh.
So if you wait it out and he's inactive, you don't have many choices. Maybe like Clive Walford or Virgil Green.
Virgil Green's got to be still out there.
Yeah, or maybe even Jared Cook on the Monday night game.
That's true.
But you don't have a lot of options.
What about Zach Ertz, though?
Yeah,
well,
maybe.
Ertz is probably not available.
Michael Rivera?
Oh, now we're getting
so me. just keep an eye on that. You're rolling the dice if you're sticking with Gronk.
In Philadelphia, Ryan Matthews did not practice this week. He's got a knee injury.
Another
Darren
shocking
Sproles.
News.
Another shocking news. Ryan Matthews is injured. Shocking. Darren Sproles, fractured rib, but he practiced in full on Thursday. He's expected to play Monday night against the Packers. Wendell Smallwood has all of a sudden become a very popular name in fantasy. Alex Gilhar, your take there.
I don't want anything to do with this backfield.
Nothing?
No.
I mean, the Packers just gave up 3 touchdowns in what? A bajillion yards?
So great. 137. Kenyon Barner's going to get 2 touches on 3 carries, and Wendell Smallwood's going to post 40 yards, and Sproles is going to have 50 total, and everybody's going to be full-on tilting during the Monday night game. Like, Unless it gets more clear, because the trouble is, like, Matthews hasn't practiced, but they said earlier in the week he's on track to play. Mm. So, like, I don't know. I don't want anything to do with this.
Yeah.
I'm the crazy one in that I kind of believe in Ryan Matthews.
Like, Ryan Matthews?
To play?
I do, if he plays.
Oh, he's
watching him, the dude is running hard. And
yeah.
He's really
for sure.
Running well. It's just that Doug Peterson every now and then is like, we don't need to pick up yards.
Nice. I'll say this about Ryan Matthews, and I'm one of the biggest Ryan Matthews haters. When he plays, he looks good. I thought this at Fresno State. I thought this at when he was a San Diego Charger, and I've thought this when he was an Eagle as well. There's two problems, and these are major problems for running backs. He's never healthy, and B, he loves to fumble the ball.
I don't think he loves it so much.
He absolutely loves it. He's just I can't wait. Hold this ball. He cannot wait. Those are my only two problems with Ryan Matthews. But no, you're right. I think when he does play, and when he plays well, you're like, holy hell, this guy's an explosive athlete.
I think Smallwood should be on rosters, though. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. He was.
No doubt.
He headlined the waiver wire column last week, but I don't know if I want to play him this week because.
Yeah.
The hell knows.
And
or even if you're relying on him in the game right before the game, they're like, oh, Matthews is going to play. Because you're like, oh, cool.
Well, it's the Monday night game,
this is
so
awesome.
You're screwed.
This is great.
Yeah.
That's true. The Monday night factor does make it a little dicey. But I'd be shocked if Ryan Matthews plays.
It's a great matchup, but I don't want anything to do with it.
Right. Yeah.
There you go. Jeremy Maclin missed practice again with a sore groin. Don't expect him to play Sunday night against Denver. Even if he was going to play, who really cares? Because we weren't going to play him anyways.
He hasn't done anything.
All right. R.I.P. Maclin.
Do you think he's just tired of running 7-yard routes and not having the ball thrown at him?
He should be at full energy if he's only running those short routes. He should be at full speed.
That's a very good point. Jay Cutler apparently does not have a labrum tear, maybe, possibly. John Fox is going John Fox.
There's a lot of not surprising things on the news, like Jordan Reed is hurt.
That's
Ryan
true.
John Andy Fox lied about an injury.
Somebody may or may not be hurt in Chicago, but he sure as hell not going to tell
injuries.
You.
Yeah. Right.
So we're kind of just business as usual. Why are we even doing this?
I love John Fox because last week it was, hey, Jordan Howard has some kind of Achilles injury. And and Jordan Howard says,
nah.
Literally, quote, nah.
Nah.
And then Jay Cutler reportedly has a labrum tear, might need season-ending surgery, and then John Fox is like, no, actually, he's
John Fox says, nah.
Nah. He's day-to-day. Bro.
It's not a lot of – I don't think
– What a weird situation.
The absurdity of this whole thing.
Yeah.
It's so stupid.
It's
you guys think Fox is going to survive this?
Nah.
Well, I guess there you go.
Regardless, for real life purposes and how absurd the whole Chicago Bears situation is, for fantasy purposes, Matt Barkley is expected to start. There's no Alshon Jeffrey.
There's no Zach Miller.
There's no Zach Miller who's gone for
nobody.
A
foot. There's no Kyle Long on the offensive line.
Don't touch this offense.
Cameron Meredith, look, I guess for the people who have Cameron Meredith and Jordan Howard as well, they're taking on Tennessee. Are you... I mean, Cameron Meredith, at least you talk about target share.
No.
I'm playing devil's advocate.
I think Barkley has a career passer rating of 55 or something like that.
It's horrid.
I don't think he's ever thrown a touchdown pass in the National Football League in a regular season game. So, no. I mean.
So, Cam Meredith out? Okay.
Cam Meredith, no. And quite frankly, if you are in a league where your trade deadline has not passed, I do believe our NFL.com.
Sunday.
One is Sunday.
Yeah.
I would try to deal Jordan Howard now. Unfortunately, I only have him on one team, and I can't because of trade deadlines.
By the way,
but
you oversold Matt Barkley's career.
Yeah.
Rating.
Oh,
I did.
Yeah, you did.
This is it's 34.2.
Oh, you know what? But one of those starts was against on a short week against Seattle, was it not?
He's never started.
That was Jimmy Clausen.
Oh, that was Jimmy Clausen. Jimmy Clausen saw Seattle twice last year. That was so funny.
It wasn't funny for Jimmy Clausen.
No, it wasn't. No, he got murdered.
Barkley's never started a game since being drafted in 2013. He's appeared in 5 career games in relief.
Okay.
In those 5 games, he has a total of 381 yards, 0 touchdowns, and 6 interceptions.
Whoa.
So.
Oh, my God.
I think anybody's going to play him, but that just deserves a little.
Yeah.
And speaking of screaming, this is kind of the defining image of Matt Barkley's NFL career. And this is great for radio. Nobody can see this.
What
but
is it?
He looks scared.
It's an image of him very frightened.
It's a picture of him with the Eagles, and it looks like he's crying.
I will send it to you.
You know what it
is? I might tweet it out.
You know
what that picture
is? So people can go.
I will tweet it out.
You know what that picture is? He's crying. It looks like he's saying, I don't want to throw
it. I don't want to do it. I don't want to. No, he looks like straight up, I don't want to be here.
Yeah.
I don't want to throw this interception, but I have to. It's so sad. Jordan Howard, though, I know you're advocating trading him, but if the trade deadline's passed, whatever, the running back position has been decimated. You figure he's going to see a pretty good workload.
Yeah.
It's not like Tennessee is some kind of, shutdown defense.
Well, they're also allowing just 92 rushing yards per game this season. Mm. What's going to stop them from just putting 9 guys in the box?
True.
And saying, okay, Matt Barkley, if you go out and you beat us, Mr. Still haven't thrown a touchdown pass in your NFL career, if you come out and beat us, then we tip our hats and we
That's
go about
true.
Our
Also, if John Fox is giving Jordan Howard 20 carries when they're down by 50 billion points in the first quarter, then he definitely deserves to lose his job.
This is what we've been talking about with running backs pretty much since the preseason, especially with Todd Gurley and other players. You want running backs that are attached to good, efficient offenses and with good quarterback play and good offensive lines, and the Bears do not have any of those three things right now.
They do not check those boxes. The Titans defense, are they a good streamer?
Yes.
Yep.
Oh, God.
Definitely.
Yep.
Do we need to read you those passer rating numbers?
Yeah.
Very good. Mark Ingram got in limited practices this week. He's coming back from a concussion. He's, as of Thursday night, was still in the concussion protocol, but he did tell reporters he expects to play against the Rams, and getting in those practices would indicate that as much. All right, let's talk about those Thanksgiving Day games. For Detroit, I'll ask you guys about Marvin Jones. 11 targets, but 4 catches for 54 yards. Are you encouraged by the looks or discouraged by the results? Matt Harmon?
I think this offense is becoming increasingly harder to predict every week where the ball is going to go. I mean, Eric Ebron didn't get a catch. I don't even know if he got targeted.
He had one target.
He had one target. Yeah, it just doesn't show up in one website's box score because it was so irrelevant. but, I mean, it's just, yeah, so this offense right now, like we went into this game and a lot of other people went into this game saying that I think the most predictable assets that you should use are Theo Riddick and Eric Ebron. Ebron got blanked and Riddick had five targets. Jones, like you said, had 11. Bolden had 9.
I know.
Golden Tate had 7. I mean, I just don't think that we can really reliably go in week to week and be like, this is where the ball is going to go in the Detroit offense.
Yeah.
There were reports coming into this week, though, that the offensive coordinator wanted to get Marvin Jones more looks.
Yeah.
And as a result, he did get more looks, 11 targets. So, I wonder if that may be a trend moving forward.
He was targeted in the end zone on one throw too, and I think it hit him in the chest and he just dropped it.
That's encouraging.
But I mean, there was coverage and stuff, but it's nice to see that they're looking at him in the end zone again, because it feels like the last two games he had two catches for like 20 total yards. So
true.
I'm encouraged by this, but like Harmon said, it's just so unpredictable.
I mean, for me, the key is, can they keep both Marvin Jones and Golden Tate relevant at the same time?
Yeah.
Oh, you mean Marvin Jones and Anquan Bolden?
My bad. Yes.
I mean, what did Bolden go for? 60 yards and a touch?
69.
Nice. He had a nice game.
He had a very nice game.
But, you know, early in the season, it was all Marvin Jones with no Golden Tate. Then old JBC decided, hey, we need to get Golden Tate involved. So we saw a lot of Golden Tate. And, you know, Marvin Jones was basically just, you know, running around in circles for no apparent reason on the field. So I am encouraged that Marvin Jones is seeing the ball come his way more. Now the trick is, can Matthew Stafford spread it around enough so that Marvin Jones has value, that Golden Tate stays relevant, and that maybe if you are hurting and streaming, you can get Anquan Bolden. And look, I had to play Anquan Bolden in the Dynasty League because my wide receiver core is trash.
There you go.
But it worked out.
I love the irony of you playing Bolden in a dynasty.
I know.
And getting a hell of a day out of it.
Dynasties are old.
I love it.
Anquan Bolden is old.
I like it.
That's true.
I just think that we always talk about trying to target concentrated passing attacks, and this is like the farthest thing from passing attack.
That's
like,
true.
Even over the last several weeks, like, the distribution is like 20%, 19%, 18%, like, for all these guys. So it's way too tough to predict when they're going to get these games, and I'm like, get me out of this passing attack unless it's Theo Riddick in a PPR league.
Fellas, even Andre Roberts had 4 targets yesterday.
Oh,
so,
man.
I mean, he's a factor, too.
I think they play the Saints next week, though, so that might be a nice matchup to take advantage of.
Somebody's going to blow up.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Washington. Kirk Cousins just had a day, man.
You just skipped over the Vikings offense.
Yeah, well,
there's nothing for that.
Nothing
backfield,
to see here.
There's a reason for that.
With Diggs out, Thielen did see 11 targets.
That's
8
true.
Catches. Okay day in PPR. Kyle Rudolph was a monster in PPR too, 9 for 64. But
Sam Bradford wouldn't throw a pass further than 3 yards. So
I was horrified to say, I was like, oh, he's got 31 completions off 37 attempts. That's really good. Oh man, he only threw for 224 yards.
How do you do that?
Six per attempt. But that's the way this offense has been, though.
That's ugly.
Yeah,
did not throw a touchdown.
That was gross. I was
outscored by Scott Tolzien. Suck it, franchise.
Oh, 8 fantasy points from Scott Tolzien.
I'm sorry. Is he a top 5 quarterback in week 12
he's
right
top
now
five
or not?
Quarterback right now.
Wow.
8.8 fantasy points,
top
bro.
Top 5.
No comment.
Yep, top 5 out of 6. Good.
Go ahead, sink your careers on Scott Tolzien.
I legitimately thought he was going to die after the second time.
Oh, I know.
He did get obliterated.
He's like, getting smashed.
I just thought he was dead.
It was right. Sad.
Wait, sorry. We're jumping the gun a little bit. Let's go back to Washington and Dallas now.
All right, that's fine. Kirk Cousins, 449 yards, 3 touchdowns.
Woo-wee.
He went nuts.
Yeah.
He
get the hell
absolutely
out of here.
Like deep balls, too.
You like that?
No, I don't like any of this.
You do. You love it. Second time in 4 games, he's had 400-plus passing yards, FYI. It's the 4th consecutive game of 2 or more touchdowns. He's been averaging 24.34 fantasy points per game over his last 5 contests.
Be good.
He 53 attempts.
Going nuts.
He might lead the league in passing yards when all said and done.
I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised at all. The yardage is just going crazy. Do you think he can keep this up?
Why would he not?
Seriously,
he's done it against good defenses. He's done it against bad defenses. And he's got a ton of weapons. Like, you know, he spread the ball around, but he's got, you know, DeSean Jackson had 118 in a touch. Garcon was the quiet one. He only had 43 yards. But Crowder, Davis, Reed, like, it's a great situation for him. One thing I do want to note from this game, though, is that this is what we talked about being the fear when they played the Packers last week, is that if in games that turn into more to shootouts or super pass heavy game script, Rob Kelly fades to the background.
True.
Yep.
14 attempts for 37 yards, and he was outsnapped by Chris Thompson because Thompson was in like the whole second half when Washington was chasing.
And when he did get carries, I think he got a few like inside the 5 yard line, but he was just getting hit behind the line of scrimmage. And
longest run was 8 yards.
The Dallas D line was just demolishing.
I almost feel like what kind of gets overlooked when we talk about this team,
okay,
is the fact that, I mean, Jake Gruden's history was in the Arena League, and he has kind of built an Arena League team in a lot of ways. I mean,
yeah.
He's got a lot of small, speedy receivers. Like, they don't have any big, you know, big wide receivers.
Yeah.
Like, Jordan Reed is like their biggest pass catcher. Maybe he and Vernon Davis.
And he's even smallish for a tight end, actually.
Yeah. Right. So, but he's got, I mean, Washington has a lot of small, speedy receivers
who
can kind of like, you know, they can get downfield, they can get in intermediate routes. And they have a quarterback who's basically going to sling the rock a whole lot of times and try to get the ball out as quickly as possible. I mean, it really is like Jay Gruden has rebuilt the Orlando Predators, Rattlers,
who knows?
I don't know, whatever.
Rumble ponies.
And brought them to DC now.
Two things too, like, and on defense, they're a pass, they stop the pass pretty well because they've got good corners and they have good pass rushers, but they can't stop the run. But can we talk about the hottest take of all time that was dropped by one Alex Gelhar yesterday as we're watching Jordan Reed play?
So I was
noticing, and I was like, you know, Jordan Reed, like, he's not really, like, ripped, you know, like other tight ends. Like, you mentioned he's a small guy, but I mean, like, you know, Gronk and especially like Jimmy Graham, they've got these guns, like,
oh, they're huge,
real good, just cut shape. And Jordan Reed, like, he's not, like, he looks like almost just kind of like he's got a big top body, but like, I don't know, he's not cut.
So we're a couple drinks in on Thanksgiving, and I wanted to crack wise a little bit. So I said, he's basically like a skinny Justin Parrillo.
And my eyebrows melted off, right? Like Justin Parrillo.
What? Hold up, dude. What?
Yeah. Think about it.
No.
How many people listening to this even know who Justin Parrillo is?
Who the hell is Justin Parrillo? If you don't know who Justin Parrillo is.
No, that's not true. If you listen to this podcast, I guarantee you know who
running
Justin
to
Parrillo
Google
is.
Right now.
All right.
Yeah. If you don't, if you're a first-time listener, thanks
but look,
for coming on board.
It was a joke. Justin Parrillo, as many the people who know his body type, just has zero definition.
Zero.
He looks like me.
Reed is the slimmed-down version of that.
Man. I don't even know where to go with that. I was trying to legitimately picture that, and I came up with air.
It's interesting.
It's not interesting. It was a joke on Thanksgiving.
It's really bad. Let's talk about Dallas. Dak and Zeke are pretty good.
Yeah.
Yep.
Wow. They're just – I mean, Dak
so
just moving
fun.
Forward. You can't – I mean, you cannot sit this guy.
Nope.
I mean, unless you had, you know, Aaron Rodgers or I don't even know who else.
Well, see, here's the thing. I would think that a lot of people who have Dak Prescott probably do have quarterback issues because they probably went and spent the draft pick on a quality quarterback, you know? So it's very plausible that you are looking at an Aaron Rodgers, Dak Prescott dilemma or a Matt Ryan, Dak Prescott dilemma.
I could see that one.
You know,
that one I can see.
You really could be looking at that dilemma because – at the start of the year, look, Dak was an afterthought.
It's true.
Nobody was drafting Dak. You were maybe taking a late-round flyer, picking him up off the waiver wire.
Dude, I picked up Dak in week 7 in my 12-team league.
Yeah.
It's true. No, it's 100% true. But he's just emerged now as having such a safe floor and such a high ceiling, too. It's just, I don't know, man. It's really fun to watch him play and throw paper cups into the trash can as well.
Environmentally friendly.
Yes, he is. He's such a nice guy.
Such
Look
a nice
at him.
Guy.
Such a nice guy. Zeke Elliott. He's got abs.
Unstoppable.
Now he's ripped.
He's really
not a skinny Justin Parrillo.
No, he's really, really good. For Pittsburgh now, how about Antonio Brown? Business is booming. I know that there was that horrific on the road trend.
Welp.
For Big Ben.
Seems like that's not true.
Well.
At least not yesterday.
The Colts are, I don't know. Why were they trying to put Vontae Davis one-on-one with AB?
Yeah, man, and poor Vontae. I feel bad for Vontae. Like, he came in banged up.
He had a bad ankle.
I know.
And he's got to try to guard Antonio Brown.
I mean, Davis is a great player.
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, you can't ask him to guard AB one-on-one.
That's a tough matchup when you're completely healthy.
That's true.
You know, so to have him trying to do it at less than 100%, yeah, it's rough.
And by the way, like, of course, in theme of teams not telling us the truth,
yes,
the Steelers came into this pretty much like, oh, yeah, you know, Ladarius Green, you know, chains are off. We're ready to roll. He played 12 snaps yesterday.
He played 12 snaps?
12 plays, yeah.
Now, but he did get, what did he get, three or four?
Six targets.
Okay, six
targets? Two for over 60 yards.
That's not bad.
It's not bad, like, usage-wise, but it's tough to trust a player that's going to play
12 snaps. That's,
you know,
he had
three targets, my bad. I don't know why I said six.
Yeah, I was thinking, yeah, okay. Well, but regardless, you like the yardage. I know he had one big one, right? 34-yard or something?
Yeah, maybe because they kind of had a feeling they were going to win that game early.
Okay.
Perhaps they were like, yeah, let's not risk Green or anything, but he's definitely somebody that's hard to trust right now.
All
right,
there you go. What about on the other sideline? The Colts are a little bit, well, I mean, you know, I don't know. Can you take anything away from Tolzien playing there? And
no.
I mean, Moncrief had a horrendous drop.
I mean, other than Tolzien, I think, played better than a lot of us expected him to.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't get a lot of help from his teammates.
Yeah. He still, I mean, Moncrief had 11 targets. T.Y. Hilton did go out with a back injury, never returned. Moncrief had 11 targets and scored a touchdown because
poor Adam Vinatieri owners.
Yeah.
That was rough.
That was no fun.
He had 1 point.
I feel like if you are Scott Tolzien,
okay,
after that game,
yes,
and you were asked to make a speech, you probably stood up in the room and you said, "What would you do if I sang out of tune? Would you stand up and walk out on me?" Because he didn't get any help from his friends. Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for that.
I've been working on that.
What is that?
There's nothing else really to say about this game now, is there?
No, there's not.
All right, I think we've got a phone call coming through. Hold on.
Prepare yourselves for heat. It's Franchise's Fiery Phone-In of the Week.
My fire take is that Alfred Morris gets revenge on the Redskins.
Revenge!
In a poof of smoke, Matt Franchise Franciscovich disappeared from the podcast room and now has reappeared like the devil he is. You call for the devil, and the devil shall appear from the smoky depths of hell.
Or
maybe
the
possibly
or the room
the,
of the parking structure.
I'm in hell.
Hell Chai's here.
Calling from hell.
It is time for the Franchise's Fiery Phoner. Give me a lock of the week.
You guys were eating turkey yesterday. I was eating fire.
That joke did not hit, but keep going.
who's your lock?
Give me a lock of the
week. All right, my lock of the week is Look, I'm sad about Kristen Michael being cut from the Seahawks.
Okay.
And now CJ Procise is injured. So my lock of the week is it's finally, all you Thomas Rawls truthers, it's finally his time to be a running back one this week. Let's go with Thomas Rawls. He's going to get all the carries despite CJ Procise being on pace for 284 yards and 4 touchdowns after the first quarter last week. He went out with an injury. So it's Rawls' backfield. Tampa Bay allows the 11th most fantasy points per game to running back, including 9 total touchdowns. So I think Rawls finds the end zone this week against the Bucs.
Bust of the week.
My bust is Spencer Ware of the Kansas City. Look, you guys, all of you guys have him ranked in the top 10. I don't know what you're thinking. I have him ranked at 16 because I think he's going to bust. Denver is bad against the run, but The Chiefs have struggled to move the ball of late. In weeks 9 through 11, the Chiefs, their offense is averaging just 18.7 points per game, 276 yards, and 78.3 rush yards per game as a team. And they rank 31st in red zone touchdown percentage.
Ooh.
So I don't like Spencer Ware this week. So cut him. Send him to the waiver wire.
Cut him. Send him to the waiver. Okay.
Wow. Now.
Wait. That wasn't the fire take.
I was gonna say now he's spitting back some of that fire.
I like it. Sleeper of the week, pal. Give
All
me
right,
one.
I looked at the numbers for about 5 minutes and I came up with this.
Oh boy.
It's Deion Lewis of the New England Patriots made his return last week. Getting integrated into the offense. They play the Jets, who are tough against the run, but give up a lot of passing yards to running backs. And with Gronk's status up in the air, Martellus Bennett injured, and Chris Hogan possibly going to miss another game, I think Tom Brady is going to look for Deion Lewis in the passing game and load him up with some catches.
Dude, I like that one. How about a fire take? What's the fire take of the week?
Oh, my fire take. Look, I'm going to bookend this phone in with Kristen Michael. Look, we started with Thomas Rawls and the Seahawks.
Yes.
Let's look at it with Kristen Michael. He's going to score the first rushing touchdown of any running back on the Packers this week. He spent some time reading the playbook since he went to the Packers. They're trying to teach him some stuff. And look, man, if they can make Ty Montgomery a running back on that team, Kristen Michael should be able to eat.
Oh, man. Wow. I like it. I like that. Franchise, cool yourself off before coming back into the podcast studio, pal.
Actually, it's cold in here. Just come on in.
It's always cold in here.
Ah, what a fiery phone. All right, we'll see you in a second. Oh, I love it. I absolutely love it. All right, let's talk about deep sleepers. It's Friday, which means you're desperate. The waiver wires have already run. Let's give the folks out there a little bit of hope. Let's start with Alex Gelhar.
Start with me for hope? This isn't hope.
This is hope.
This is the Hail Mary.
Hail Marys. Deep sleeper time. WizKid from Wisconsin. Give it to me.
Rex Burkhead.
Yeah.
Cincinnati Bengals.
Let's go.
This is simply a war of attrition in that backfield. Giovanni Bernard's out. They still don't know if they can activate Cedric Pierman off of IR yet. So the next man up is Rex Burkhead. He has been used by this team in the past. If you remember in the 2013-2014 playoffs, the Colts featured Burkhead pretty heavily. He had like 60-some total yards, I think, in almost the first half, and then he disappeared. But anyways, they lost AJ Green. They lost Giovanni Bernard. Somebody's got to step up, catch some dump-offs out of the backfield, and spell Jeremy Hill. So, hey, why not? Rex Burkhead, sure. This is great. Everything's fine.
Everything is fine. Okay. Wow, that was – you did not sell that one well.
No hope here from Rex Burkhead.
Oh, boy. MG, my guy, Marcus Grant, give me a deep sleeper.
Well, here in Los Angeles, of course, lots of people are big fans of Kendrick Lamar, but I'm going this week with Lance Kendricks.
Yeah, buddy.
That was a really weird analogy in a stretch.
No, I liked
it. But all right, thanks.
That's in the vein of Danger Zone.
You like that?
I do. All right.
Well, Lance Kendricks, I mean, I know it's been hard to count on any Rams player, except maybe Kenny Britt has been the most consistent guy. But if you look at it, I mean, Kendrick's usage rate has actually been pretty good all year long. I mean, he has been hanging around. He's averaged around 8 targets or so for the last 5 or 6 games the Rams have played. So they're going to him, and we saw a lot of that last week with Jared Goff making his first start. Of course, as I have been fond to say in the past, young quarterbacks and tight ends go together like chicken and waffles.
They
so
do.
This could be a situation where you see Kendrick's get the ball thrown his way a lot. The difference between this week and last week for the Rams, in a sloppy game in the rain, a game that stayed close, the Rams kind of had the luxury of being able to lean on their running game a little bit more.
True.
I don't know that that's going to be the case with the Saints this week. They're going to try to turn this thing into a track meet, see if they can get Jared Goff in a shootout. That means he's going to have to throw the ball more.
49-7 will be the final score there.
Did you just suggest starting Lance Kendricks,
he
bro?
Did.
It's
he
a
did.
Deep sleeper, man.
Remember last
Do you remember what happened to me 2 weeks ago, and then you clapped in my face and said, you started a bad player on a bad team in fantasy.
That's true. You did do that.
I did do that. And so if Lance Kendricks goes Lance Kendricks, tricks on me, then I will await that happening to me.
Oh, that's great.
Dang it.
I love it. I absolutely love it. Matt Harmon, give me a deep sleeper, pal.
Mohamed Sanu. I think
Mo Sanu?
Yeah. Really?
I
believe by writing last week or 2 weeks ago that I wanted Mohamed Sanu the entirety out of my life.
Well, too bad, pal, because he's still a starter at wide receiver for the Atlanta Falcons. Also, Taylor Gabriel, I think, could be interesting.
Peter Gabriel?
Well. Taylor Gabriel.
Taylor Dane?
Dude.
Taylor Gabriel.
Peter Gabriel, I love his songs.
Oh, now I want to know. Listen, Dad.
What?
Dad, we're talking about football players here, not music.
Okay.
But anyways, Snooze had 2 big games this year. I mean, literally 2. He had 10 targets for 9 catches, 84 yards against the Packers and a touchdown. In week 1, he had 8 targets, 5 catches, 80 yards and a touchdown against the Bucks. I think the Cardinals obviously will likely shadow Julio Jones with Patrick Peterson. Mohamed Sanu gets 68% of his yards out of the slot. The Cardinals have had a little bit of trouble with slot receivers, too, because Tyrann Mathieu's been in and out of the lineup. When he's been in there, he hasn't been himself coming off the ACL injury.
Right.
So, I mean, I think Sanu is in a spot for a pretty good game here, because it's not like the Falcons just straight up won't move the ball, and I doubt Jones is going to get erased, but if he's limited at all with Peterson there, I think this is a pretty good week to start Sanu.
So does this mean I can get some of those death by Sanu jokes off on Twitter?
If you wish to do a thing like that, that is a thing you could do.
All right.
And Gabriel, too, I think is like a big play Hail Mary threat. And you
maybe a DFS
on.
Guy?
Sure.
Sure. Why not?
Sure.
I'm going to give you 2.
Oh, wow.
Cheater.
I know, seriously. I've gone to this well before. It did not work too good. But I'll go to it again. I'm going to go Bryce Treggs.
Oh,
wow.
Just give us a next name.
Wow. Pass.
Look, he's taking on the Eagles. They're down to their, like,
taking on the Packers.
Packers.
Oh, excuse me, the Packers.
He's on the Eagles.
Thank you.
This is it's well done, Summer.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel confident.
The analysis is going well. Bryce Treggs on the Eagles, taking on the Packers. They're down to, like, I don't know, 14th DB.
Man, such a homer pick.
It's true.
Cal.
What?
Such a homer.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, of all
the
all
guy with the Packers hat on.
I'm just saying.
Nobody stop. Nobody gets saying. Over on the Packers defense.
What is this?
I'm just saying. Look, plus Nelson Aguilar has been just
bad.
A train wreck. Just a train wreck.
Look, man.
There, wide receiver.
Don't blame him for being born with skillets for hands.
Oh.
I feel bad. I feel bad. Well, for him. Do you guys see
that? They
caught
that in the combine?
Yeah. The medical recheck. I'm surprised they didn't flag. I feel bad. I feel kind of bad for Nelson Aguilar. He had an interview at his locker room where he's just like, I don't know what I'm doing wrong.
He's seeing a sports psychologist now.
Yeah, it's pretty clearly.
It's in his head.
Like Jordan Matthews last year.
You guys are a bunch of jerks.
I don't think it's possible that the Eagles coaching staff can roll him out there.
No.
I don't think it's possible.
DB game?
He needs a break.
I think Bryce Treggs is going to step in. He's got 4.34 speed. The Packers are just, I mean...
They're bad.
They're bad.
I believe they've allowed more to give a little credence to your pick here that we all just
completely
spat all over. the Packers, I believe, I wrote about this in Next Gen Stats matchups column. Like
name drop.
It's my name, you idiot. It's my name. This is an awful show. This is an awful show to be a part of.
My God.
So glad a member of my family is here to witness.
Yes.
Seeing this. This is what
she's
I do
gonna
to
take.
This
part
is what I do to get paid.
Too.
This is what I do to get paid. It's ridiculous. Anyways, I don't remember what I was saying. Oh, they've allowed more deep ball touchdowns than any other team in the league.
Yeah.
Tricks. Let's go. Let's get it. Austin right. Cooper's my other guy.
Okay.
hanging with Mr. Hooper. Taking on Arizona, who I understand is giving up the fewest tight end points in fantasy. And I get it. They've given up zero touchdowns to the tight end position, but that means they're due.
Jacob Tammy's on IR now.
Yeah, right? Jacob Tammy on IR. Hooper's seeing about 5 targets a game. He's played on 75% of the snaps. So he's out there a lot. I know Lavine
Toilolo
is out there as well. But again, if you look at the snap share, Hooper's playing on 75% of the team's offensive snaps. So he's out there a lot. He's going to have a lot of opportunities. And I do believe that the Atlanta Falcons will be able to move the ball a little bit against the Cardinals. And if they get within, you know, goal-to-goal situations, I wouldn't be surprised if they pay such heavy attention to Julio Jones and all those other guys that maybe Austin Hooper is able to, you know, snake free for an easy touchdown. So we shall see. All right, let's do EDG every damn game.
Let's try and keep it quick. We're already pushing 40 minutes
here. Holy hell, are we really?
Yeah.
All right, let's go. L.A. at New Orleans. Matt Harmon, what you got?
Well... the Saints defense, I think it's about time we recognize that they're not just a complete joke anymore. The last 3 games, they allowed 23 points to the Panthers, 23 points to the Broncos, and 23 points to the 49ers. So, I mean, they're no longer just getting shredded left and right. So, I mean, not that you were thinking about playing Jared Goff anyways. I mean, I hope not. He, on third downs last week, he threw his passes about 4 yards shallow of the yard to convert there. So, I mean, they are just having him run a complete dink and dunk system. So I would not expect him to have, like, a real easy going here. Cameron Jordan is balling out. Sheldon Rankins is back there, too. So this is not a defense that we're just thinking the opponent's just going to roll over anymore. And I do like Kenny Britt, I think, in this game just because the targets are there. But for the Saints side, I think it's in everybody in the pool game, even though the Rams defense is very good.
Tennessee at Chi-Town. MG, what are you watching?
I'm watching the Titans.
Oh, okay.
That's going to be it. Defensively, we talked about it earlier. I expect they are going to kind of dominate and swarm that Bears offense led by Matt Barkley and really shut them down. They're going to do their best to take away Jordan Howard. And there's no reason for you to think about starting any Bears in your lineup at all.
None.
There's nothing but trash here.
Basically. On the other side, the Titans, I mean, I think it's all systems go. It's Marcus Mariota. It's DeMarco Murray. It's Rishard Matthews. It's Delanie Walker. Kendall Wright, maybe, if you are in a pinch and need, like, a flex option there. I mean, I think that's all possible. On Friday's NFL Fantasy Live, I made the – actually, I think it's on NFL Now. I take that back. I made the bold gut prediction
That
DeMarco Murray will have more rushing yards than Matt Barkley has passing yards.
Wow.
That's pretty fun.
That's a bold prediction.
That is.
I like that.
You know?
That's
so
pretty cool.
There you go.
Arizona at Atlanta. Wiz?
Well, Harmon's deep sleeper was a good call because I was going to talk up Sanu in this section. He also plays 48% of his snaps in the slot, and you said, what, 68% of his yardage there?
Yes.
So, and as we mentioned, I think Jeremy Curley, both of his big games have been against Arizona this year. They've gotten beat by a couple other slot guys, so that's a good spot.
Stealing my tips. That's fine.
Arizona does, however, allow the lowest yard per carry in the league with just 3.25 yards per tote. So I still wouldn't be opposed to playing Devonta Freeman or Tevin Coleman because now that they're back in that little duo backfield there, we know Atlanta's going to do interesting things with them. On the flip side, I mean, I'm not trusting anybody other than Fitz or David Johnson in this Arizona offense. I don't know about you guys. Desmond Trufant is a game-time decision, though, so that could help the Arizona passing attack if he is out.
Michael Floyd also popped up midweek with a hamstring issue, I believe. He's going to be very –
I don't want that in my life.
Okay,
either.
There you go. New York Giants at Cleveland. Franchise, what do you got?
Yeah, so on the Giants side of the ball, Rashad Jennings all day. Me and Harmon were actually on Fantasy and Friends talking Jennings up in our little hipster segment.
Yeah,
humble brag and a name drop.
Dude. You guys are famous.
And Harmon pulled this stat in. Rashad Jennings averages 113 total yards and half a touchdown per game when he gets 16 or more touches.
Okay. He
should
get 16 or more against Cleveland.
So he'd definitely get the volume. His volume trends have. He had 26 touches last week, best fantasy game. The Browns give up so many points to running backs and in general. So you're starting Rashad Jennings.
Okay.
You're probably starting OBJ despite the ESPN article headlined, Odell Beckham Jr. might face toughest matchup of season.
Sheesh.
I mean, clickbait. Yeah, like it was about Joe Hayden and how he's been good against top wideouts, but still it's Beckham versus the Browns. And you're also probably starting Sterling Shepard as a flex play. He's second on the team.
Oh, yeah.
72 targets, 7 red zone targets, and 3 red zone touchdowns, which is the same amount that Odell Beckham has.
But what about Paul Perkins, brah?
What about
San Diego?
Okay, let's focus. Can I say something real quick?
Sure, please.
I like Will Tye in that game.
Ooh. Yes.
A lot. He's been playing about 74% of the team snaps the last 3 weeks.
Yep.
Also, like Corey Coleman to have a big game this week.
Meh. Okay. San Diego at Houston. I don't know what that means. San Diego at Houston. Harmon, what you got?
Okay, well, you just completely railroaded my Corey Coleman take, but whatever. Okay. San Diego and Houston. Well, I mean, we know what the Texans offense is right now. And I
trash.
Poor.
Yeah, C.J. Fedorowicz, I think, is the number one receiver, C.J. Fedorowicz, on the Texans.
What
there.
A world we live in.
Yeah, God. I think he's in line for another big game. I mean, the Chargers don't really have the safety coverage right now to stop opposing tight ends. And like I said, he seems to be the top target there. You know, it was encouraging to see Nuke kind of get going because getting going for him is like 54 yards now.
Oh, boy.
So sad.
It's
pretty bad. But at the same time, I think the usage is there, and you can't really trust Will Fuller right now. So I'm not opposed to rolling out Hopkins in this game against an injury-depleted San Diego secondary. And then on the Chargers side, I mean, and we saw Amari Cooper and Michael Crabtree really struggle to separate against this Houston secondary. I still like Tyrell Williams, but if Travis Benjamin is going to come back – and he might play this week, that would be a little bit of a damper on him, but I think it's a big Melvin Gordon game.
Jacksonville at Buffalo. MG, what you got?
Well, I'm very curious to keep an eye on Tyrod Taylor because you know how we love him in the stronghold. But
Ty God.
I'm concerned about him simply because the Jaguars defensively have not been a bad group this year. They don't give up a ton of passing yards, but you mentioned Jalen Ramsey earlier in the year or earlier in the podcast, and he has done a good job against a lot of really talented receivers.
Yeah,
this
man.
Year. So that certainly worries me about an offense that's not going to have Robert Woods most likely. Sammy Watkins may or may not play. I mean, I know he's kind of angling to get on the field,
right?
Yeah, I was seeing reports earlier in the day about his conditioning maybe not being where they want it to be because, he hasn't played since week 2. So, that's something to keep an eye on. LeSean McCoy may be playing, although he had thumb surgery last week. There are so many question marks in this offense right now that it could be really bad.
Yeah, and it could be a train wreck.
I mean, it's been amazing to watch Tyrod kind of be semi-productive with not a lot of weapons around him, but it just seems like there's only so much that he can do by himself unless he can figure out how to throw and catch his own passes. It's kind of concerning. On the other side, Blake Bortles.
Bills defense.
I don't know that I need to say anything more than that. Here's the thing. I feel like there is a there is a universe in which Blake Bortles, you know, goes out and does his customary throw a couple of picks in the first half and then comes back with, you know, the garbage time points like he is wont to do.
Okay.
The one thing that frustrates me is TJ Yeldon is probably not going to play. That doesn't frustrate me. What frustrates me is that instead of seeing a whole heavy workload for Chris Ivory, now there's this talk that Denard Robinson he might be seeing some run in this one.
Let's go, Shoelace.
I don't know if this is just something because Michigan and Ohio State play on Saturday, so we want to like hype it up or whatever.
I like that.
Not cool, Gus Bradley.
As long as
not
there's
cool.
no ponds near York, we should be
for
good.
Him to you know drive
fall
into
and drive into
pull a Michael Scott.
I like Robinson this week from this game. Just gotta say,
agree.
If it's garbage Robinson. Time or not,
not
yeah,
Denard.
Allen Robinson.
Denard
Robinson. Not should have clarified that.
Yes. Cincinnati at Baltimore. Wiz, what you got?
Kids, just say no to starting fantasy players in this game.
Really? I kind of like Joe Flacco.
Why?
No.
No?
As in, I mean, as a Steve person?
Smith? Steve Smith is starting to come around a little bit.
I really tried to fire myself about Joe Flacco in this one, and I just couldn't.
Okay.
So here's the thing. I like Steve Smith. Cincinnati actually gives up the 9th highest catch rate and touchdown percentage in the league, despite allowing the 2nd lowest targets per game to wide receivers. But on the opposite side, like this Bengals offense is going in, up against a good Baltimore defense. Just lost A.J. Green. Just lost Gio Bernard. I want no part. I mean, I have to start Tyler Eifert. I mean, I'm still scared that, you know, I think Harmon was the one that said it, losing A.J. Green is a big net loss. So even if Eifert gets more targets, we don't know if he's going to even be open.
Right.
The Ravens backfield is unsettled. Joe Flacco, no thank you. Andy Dalton, no thank you. Jeremy Hill, I mean, sure, he's going to get volume. But if you're getting excited about a 22-carry, 48-yard game with maybe a touchdown, then woo! Let's go.
Mike Wallace?
Maybe Mike Wallace. Like, Steve Smith and Mike Wallace are the only people I'm, like, semi-excited about in this game.
That's why I'm excited about Joe Flacco.
I mean, in theory, this is a great matchup for Dennis Pitta, but nothing about what Pitta has done this year suggests that he can
overcome. It's just – and this also – these games are typically low scoring in the AFC North.
Yeah.
This feels like it's got 13-6 written all over.
Can I just throw this out?
Sure.
Because I couldn't get anybody to bite on it in Slack, but I want to see if I can get anybody to bite on a beer bet.
Nope.
I believe that Brandon LaFell will outscore –
100%, I'm in.
Tyler Boyd. I knew I could get James Coe.
I'm in.
I'm on the LaFell.
Official beer bet.
Yep, let's go. I'm in.
Standard scoring.
Yep.
Brandon LaFell, more points than Tyler Boyd 100%. While A.J. Green is out.
I am all in on that.
While A.J. Green is out or just this week?
While A.J. Green is out.
Okay.
For the duration.
I'm all in. We should do week by week in season.
And no.
In ROS. No?
No. Oh. I said while A.J. Green is out.
While A.J. Green
is out. He scores more points.
But then we have to wait.
In the interest of full
disclosure. None of these beer bets ever get paid back anyways.
Oh, I see.
Hey, I bought franchises beer for the Rob Kelly beer bet.
I'm just kidding. Yeah, they get bought.
Full disclosure, though. He did throw this out on Slack, and none of us bid on it. But then, I don't remember if it was Harmon or Gelhar. Somebody was like, I bet you James Coe will bite him.
I said that.
Wait,
because James loves Tyler Boyd's athletic profile. Like, he'll tell
for whatever reason.
I don't like his athletic profile. I just look. He's 6'1", 200 pounds, and what, he ran a 4.58 40. That's not great.
I mean, I fit 2/3 of that description.
That's not great. That's not.
Which
great.
One don't you? Don't you
it's the 40 time is maybe a little bit.
Oh, okay.
Well, I'm just I really strongly believe that the usage is going to go Brandon LaFell's way.
Okay.
Just more upside.
Totally.
There.
And he's also a way worse player. So.
No, you don't know that.
That is why I like this beer bag. I like it.
Good. I'm in. All right. Let's
look. Brandon LaFell made Tom Brady a viable fantasy quarterback.
Exactly.
Okay.
By the way, no team other than the San Francisco 49ers have allowed more touchdowns to receivers lining up on the right side of the offense, because they've had trouble at that left corner position. That's where Brandon LaFell takes his snaps. So.
Oh, by the way, Jimmy Smith most likely out of this game as well. Yep. Let's go, Tyler Boyd.
Cool.
I like it. San Francisco.
God, that discussion just made me sad.
Yeah, I know.
We spent so much time on Cincinnati, Baltimore.
All right.
San Francisco. Especially with the lead being don't start playing.
Don't start anybody.
Here's 10 minutes of analysis.
Okay. San Francisco at Miami. Franchise, what you got?
Probably starting Carlos Hyde. Miami run D ranks 30th in the NFL. If he gets 18, 20 touches, he should be all right for you. Maybe stream Kaepernick. If you need a quarterback, he's averaging 21.8 fantasy points in his last three games.
Hell yeah. QB1 Kaepernick.
On the other side, San Francisco's allowed 100-yard rusher in 8 of its last 9 games. You're definitely starting Jay Ajayi, but a word of caution, there could possibly be 3 starting linemen out for the Miami offensive line.
That's true.
So we saw what happened last week against the Rams. Tannehill got sacked a bunch. Ajayi struggled. He hasn't scored in 2 straight games now. Be nice to see him bounce back. He'll probably get in the end zone. Just don't expect like 25 points from him with a banged up O-line. I don't know if you're starting Devontae Parker or Kenny Stills, because with that banged up O-line, Tannehill might not have a lot of time to throw deep.
Interesting.
But Jarvis Landry is maybe a flex play, except his targets are pretty much cut in half since the Dolphins' first 4 games, from 11.2 down to 6.2 the last 4 games.
Little known fact, at the beginning of the month of November, Jarvis Landry actually announced his retirement from the NFL.
You know, the Niners have given up a 100-yard rusher in 8 of their last 9 games. It is funny that the one guy that didn't get 100 yards in that span was David Johnson.
What?
Right.
Sad.
He did have 100 scrimmage yards, but he did not have 100 rushing yards.
Right.
That's whack.
This stuff doesn't make any sense.
Seattle at Tampa Bay. Harmon, what you got?
Yeah, franchise is talking about Thomas Rawls, and I mean, I totally, completely agree. I think he's got a 20-touch workload in his future here.
Okay.
Tampa Bay's run defense is like, it has a good reputation, but they've allowed over 4.7 yards per carry the last 4 weeks, so they're starting to kind of crumble there. And I mean, Russell Wilson is on fire. You play him again against a bad Bucs secondary. On Tampa's side, I wouldn't worry about Mike Evans too much at all going against, you know, Richard Sherman in that.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, he's fine. Like, he still gets a ton of targets, so I mean, at worst, I think he'll get a good floor play out.
Okay.
And
he's gigantic.
I would not want to use really anybody else in this game, though, on Tampa Bay side.
Nah, Doug Martin scares the hell out of me here.
Just a word of optimism though for the Bucs. Seattle has a pretty dicey history going from the West Coast to the 10 p.m. or the 10 a.m. start, or 10 one. Who cares about the East Coast? 1 p.m. Eastern start time.
Wow, that's a big step from West Virginia's finest.
Who cares about the East Coast?
I know.
Shit, I love
it. It's 4:05 Eastern.
Oh, is it?
1:05.
Well, then ignore what I just said.
Okay.
Holy hell.
Fantastic.
Why am I here?
This is fine.
Okay.
Matt Harmon, who's an idiot.
New England at the Jets. MG, my guy, Marcus Grant.
Well, you can start Tom Brady because...
Why?
I feel like he and Bill Belichick take extra delight in beating the Jets.
Oh, they for sure do.
Even though Rex Ryan's not there, like, they still just really, really enjoy that.
Yeah,
And so, you know, they're going to... So Tom Brady, obviously you're starting. I do like, as franchise mentioned earlier, Deion Lewis this week. I think they're going to start to work him more into what they do offensively, so you're going to see that.
Yep.
And because the Jets are fairly stout against the run, yeah, I think LeGarrette Blount is still fine because the guy's going to get his touches, especially down near the goal line, but... in terms of between the 20s, I think you're going to see a lot more Deion Lewis kind of getting work and being the guy to help be the chain mover there. Beyond that, the pass catchers, I don't know. Flip a coin, pull, draw straws. I mean, you know, especially if Gronk's not playing. I mean, we saw already with, you know, with Gronk not there, Martellus Bennett got locked down last week by the 49ers. It's going to be hard to try to predict who between Julian Edelman, Malcolm Mitchell, Danny Amendola, Chris Hogan may be back. I mean, it's just going to be really hard to kind of figure out where the football is going. That's great for real football. It makes the Patriots really hard to defend. It makes them nearly impossible to predict from a fantasy standpoint. On the Jets side, I mean, look, I don't know what you do with the passing game. We've seen this act before. Ryan Fitzpatrick is supposed to be back and starting again, but nothing that he's done this year has suggested he's... I mean, the guy got benched for Bryce Petty. That's how bad things were for him. So I don't know how you can trust him or any of his pass catchers. The only, I think, fantasy-relevant option is probably Matt Forte, simply because the Patriots up front have not been super strong this year, and Forte can still catch the ball out of the backfield. So that is probably the only player with the Jets that I feel confident.
I think I might start Brandon Marshall, just because I would... Fitz, I think Marshall averages like 3 more targets per game with Fitz this year than without him. So he's going to get pummeled. And even if he, you know, we know Belichick likes to scheme away the other team's top option, that would probably be Marshall. But whatever, I'll take that volume.
Oh, by the way, I think Elliot Harrison, I think, tweeted this last week that the Jets, this has nothing to do fantasy wise, but it's just a fun stat.
Okay.
The Jets tight end position has accounted for 4 catches this year.
Holy cow.
Which is, I think, last year, 12.
Last year was like 8. And so they were kind of on pace to duplicate the eight catches the tight end position had last
crazy.
Year.
That's
crazy. Wow.
They pretty much just punted on that position for the last two or three years.
Yep. Yeah.
That is insane. That's not good. Where are we here?
Justin Perrello has four catches this year.
Currently not on it and active.
Oh, my God.
What the hell?
Carolina at Oakland. Wiz, what you got?
Look, there's Michael Orr. I think he just went on IR today,
yeah.
right?
Correct. Yes.
After being in the concussion protocol since week three, that's really scary.
Ryan Khalil's also going to be out in this game, so I'm not going to play Jay Stu, and I'd even be worried a little bit about Cam. We've seen him in recent weeks with that offensive line being really banged up. He's getting hit a lot. He's getting pressured a ton, and it's tougher for him to.
I mean, they only have to worry about Khalil Mack. I'm sure he'll be fine.
And Bruce Irvin.
Oh boy.
So that's dicey. I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to streaming a quarterback instead of playing Cam this week because that Oakland defense is playing a little better. Hmm. Cam's had I think fewer than 15 fantasy points in three straight weeks.
That's a fire take. I like it.
I said I wouldn't be opposed to it. I didn't say you should do it. But you know, I don't think I have Cam in a league, but if I did, I might talk myself into that. Other than that, Oakland, you know, no longer has tight end eraser Nairon Ball, so Greg Olsen is a great player. And,
big strategy whiff there.
And Kelvin Benjamin's a good play. On the flip side, I mean, you got to love Cooper this week. Maharman, you wrote about Crabtree having the tougher of the two matchups. I still wouldn't be afraid to start him. I guess Latavius Murray.
Panthers shut down run game.
They do.
Just for the touchdown upside, but like that's all you're hoping
but
for.
But the thing with that is the Raiders running backs got shut down last week too, but they got a lot of receiving yards.
Right.
So true.
Watch out for
that. I mean, deep threat Jahmyr Zoluwale
right.
scored over.
It was just interesting. The running backs combined for 199 receiving yards last week.
Like, legitimately, though, Jahmyr Zoluwale has two, like, what, 60-some plus yard touchdown receptions
yeah.
this year?
Ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
He looks so ridiculous out there wearing number 49 streaking.
He was wide open.
Anyways, basically, this is a game where you would want to start the pass catchers on both sides, the primary ones, and leave everybody else on the bench.
KC at Denver franchise, what do you got?
Before I get into this, we just got the Patriots injury report in official. Tom Brady, who didn't practice Wednesday, Thursday, practiced limited today. He's questionable, so that means he'll probably play.
He'll play.
And Martellus Bennett, who didn't practice Thursday, got in limited practice Friday. So maybe it was just a holiday off for those veterans. But
it's probably true.
I just wanted to note that before
holidays.
I got. All right, Chiefs, Denver. Like I said before on the phoner about Spencer Ware, the Chiefs.
Bust alert.
Chiefs offense has just been struggling. They just haven't been producing, especially since Macklin's been out. Not that he was having a great year, but just his presence on the field might be affecting them. This really interested me from our Next Gen Stats research packet. The Denver pass rush is one of the best in the league, with Von Miller and Shane Ray leading the NFL in average separation from quarterback at time of throw. So that means they're getting close to quarterbacks as they throw the ball. The league average is 4.86, and they are 3.77 and 3.80 respectively. So they're going to be on top of Alex Smith. But on the other side of that, Alex Smith is tied for the shortest time to throw in the NFL with Drew Brees with 2.38 seconds.
Well, when you're throwing to the line of scrimmage.
Right. So he's already a quarterback who throws quickly, and they're going to be on top of him, so it's going to be more of that, which means it's probably not going to be a great game for Tyreek Hill, who's a deep speed threat. The Broncos have locked down speed receivers this year. But Travis Kelce could see a lot of looks. High volume play. You're not benching him anyway, but it's just an interesting matchup based on these next-gen stats.
Okay.
50% of his production has come from lining up in the slot this year, and Denver is the worst defense in the league at defending tight ends and running backs from the slot this year. So it's
like
a nice little next-gen stats nugget for y'all.
I'm sweating a little bit over here.
I like it.
Good.
Green Bay at Philadelphia. Matt Harmon, what do you got?
Yeah, so, I mean, we talked about Bryce Treggs a little bit, and I mean, this is really a matchup of weakness on weakness, because the Packers have given up, like we said, a ton of deep ball production, but Wentz has been one of the worst deep ball quarterbacks in the NFL this year. In three games where he's averaged over 10 air yards per attempt, that was week 6 against Washington, week 9 against New York, and week 11 against Seattle, he has a 77, 64, and 61 passer rating in those games. So he's really been a short, you know, dink and dunk quarterback. However, I also think that because the Packers have a real weakness in the middle of the field, we saw Kirk Cousins get 291 of his yards and all three of his touchdowns right down the middle of the field against Green Bay, and the Eagles' best weapons, Jordan Matthews and Zach Ertz, if you want to call them weapons, are in the middle of the field sort of players. So I think this could be a really good game to stream Carson Wentz. I think it's a good game to get those two guys in your lineup. And then on Green Bay side, I think you just you pretty much play everybody and hope that Kristen Michael gets in there. I mean, the Eagles defense has been good at home, but it's hard to really identify like a clear matchup weakness for the Green Bay to exploit in this one, but I think you're siding on playing all your Green Bay guys.
Yeah,
Jared Cook might have some trouble in this game, though.
I want to say Rodgers has averaged like 44, 45 pass attempts a game over the last 3 or 4 weeks, which has coincided with his defense falling apart. So even though, like you're saying, Harmon, while the Eagles are great at home, we can't really tell what the matchup is going to be, you got to start Cobb, Adams, and Nelson just based on that sheer volume alone.
Yeah, it's hard to like throw water on the Jared Cook thing after we were so excited to see it, but you know, he only caught one of his passes on Monday night or Sunday night out of the traditional tight end formation, so they're really using him as a split out wide receiver and slot guy, and the Eagles have pretty much shut those players down. They allow a league low 15 catches to tight ends when lined up out of the slot or out wide.
Let me throw a little bit more fuel onto this Christian Michael fire. Micah Daniels told reporters, quote, "Christian Michael shook the whole defense in today's practice."
Oh, he's woke. I'm quitting. I quit. He's so woke.
I love it.
I mean, anyone can shake the Packers defense. Maybe he's not that woke.
There's that. All right. Let's welcome in a special guest and do Daily Daps.
All right, let's do it. All right, Daily Dap time. I will cede the floor to West Virginia's finest, Matt Harmon.
What are you doing here, Emily? This is my sister, everybody.
What are you doing here?
Everybody say hi to my sister.
Hello.
Hi, Emily.
You know, I want to start off by saying I'm a little offended.
What?
To call anybody out, okay. But Marcus and Franchise, you all met me, an hour ago? Mm-hmm. And you had to chat everybody because you forgot my name?
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
And I remembered your names.
let me just say. So one, in my defense.
Okay,
let's hear it.
Mumbly Joe over here didn't say it out loud.
What the hell are you talking about?
Like, hey, this is my sister. yes, instead of, I didn't want to be that guy like, hey, Harmon's sister. So
hey,
I
all
tried
right.
to,
you. All right.
So I tried to.
Wow. Please don't be offended. I forget people's names in 3 seconds.
That's just franchise. Something I do. Franchise is really old.
Well, he's really old. So he's about
he's
right.
God, 65
no.
years old.
Doesn't have good short-term memory.
But she already called us out, so she fits in.
All right.
Here,
so yeah.
Nice.
So anyways, Harmon.
Nice rip.
We have her in here for her to try and help you defend a point.
I want you to clear something up for the room.
Yes.
What state are we from?
Oh, God.
Well, Virginia.
West.
But
Western Virginia.
No,
right?
Is. Western. Can you just clear something up for some of the idiots in the room? Not going to call anybody out, but maybe the host of the show named James Coe.
I thought we weren't calling people out.
I thought about it now, but I decided I'm going to just call you out anyway.
Seems like a Harmon tradition to not call anybody out, but then call people out.
Yes, yes.
Whatever, that's how the family works. I just want you to explain to James Coe, who's very bad at geography, that West Virginia and Virginia
they're
are
not
two
the
different
same.
States.
Yeah, they're not the same.
Are we sure about that?
No.
Sources. We need sources here.
This is a second source for
this is a second source.
There's
I believe
West
in
she's
Virginia,
biased, though.
And there's Virginia.
Can you?
I mean, like, have you looked at a map?
Right.
No.
No, he hasn't.
No,
you
no he hasn't looked at
a map.
That's biased. So I wanted to have you on the show to really add some clarity to a situation that seems to be hard for a few people in the room.
Well, to be honest, we're really not sure where Matt's from. I mean,
Wait a second.
I'm kind of convinced he might be adopted or
wait
something.
A
I don't know.
Still might be from West Virginia.
So, I'm from Virginia. But
you heard it here first.
I only speak for myself.
Get this on Twitter right now.
Well,
we're not sure where he's from.
This really took a turn for the worse for me.
Oh, my God.
I only represent myself, and I'm from Virginia.
Wow.
You know,
we've
been walking around all day, and people have told us how much we look alike all day in this office.
Well, that would make sense.
I see the resemblance.
I can see that.
That's what I'm saying. So
well,
we're
I'm
obviously related. If you're from Virginia,
you were born in the same place?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Duh.
Facts are facts, man. He tries to bring his
a lot of people
on
look,
to help
look
out.
Okay,
it blows up in his face.
Get the hell off my podcast.
Your podcast.
We'll have her stay and do a daily
your
dab.
Sure.
Yeah.
My God.
Wow. Woo. This turn.
All right. So who wants to
well
start
as I thought.
With daily daps? Harmon, do you want to do one?
Go ahead.
Yeah, I will start. I was going to dap the fact that my sister came and it was so nice, but screw that. Get it here real quick. And Wait, you don't want to? You don't want to do one?
Sure.
Anyways,
let's keep the headsets on. Let's go.
So I am going to dap a YouTube video that I found. So
oh, okay.
I think I've detailed this on the podcast before that there is a baby that lives underneath me, and yes. Like last winter, I really struggled because they were sleep training him, you know, or whatever it is mm-hmm. you parents do.
Yeah.
Sleep training.
Yeah, right. You dads do. Yeah. And he would cry in the middle of the night and wake me up unless I left my fan on. So I sleep with my fan on every night. However, it's cold now here in California, or at least cold enough that I can't
cold.
Leave.
Cold.
I can't.
It's L.A. cold.
It's L.A. Yeah. cold. Like, yeah, yeah, it gets too cold if I leave the fan on blowing cold air into my room. So, like, I either have to decide, do I freeze to death in my sleep, or do I get woken up at 3 by a baby that I thought would be over the whole crying thing. Now it's a year later. Give me a break. Anyway, so what I found...
Babies cry after they're a year old.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Shocking. So what I found Shocking. On YouTube is an 11-hour video of the sound of a fan
the
blowing.
White noise?
No, just a straight, like, I Googled.
It's the sound of a fan.
Yeah, it's the sound of a fan. Just fan. It plays for 11 hours, so now I have the sound of the fan, cancels out the baby crying, but I'm also not cold. So Daily Daps that video.
Wow.
It was like
Daily Daps to an 11-hour fan sound.
It changed. No, but it really is a huge help in my life.
Life changing.
If you people don't understand that, then
I understand where you're coming from.
The hell put that together and then decided to upload that POS to YouTube.
But here's the thing, James. That is like one of 10 that I found. There are multiple 10-plus-hour videos of just the sound of a fan.
I mean,
blowing.
It's probably 5 minutes just looped over and over.
Of course.
It's not like they recorded for 11 hours.
I haven't noticed any changes yet.
That is amazing. Amazing.
Wow. Changes.
I mean, I haven't noticed any changes in the sound.
Okay. I hear you.
All right. Well, let's go to Harmon's sister.
Do you have a daily dap? This is the part of the show where we dap something from
that you
anything.
Like or that,
anything.
That was cool.
Non-football related, mostly.
I'm normally never prepared.
Yeah,
so.
You're never prepared. Okay, another
can,
Harmon's not
can
prepared.
Come back
Weird.
To Emily. Let's okay. go. We'll come back to
no,
her.
No, I had one.
Oh, okay.
Good.
All right.
I'm going to daily dap the table last night. What do y'all call it?
Oh, the truth table.
The truth table.
Oh, what is God. Secrets table? Are coming
the
out.
Truth
That's just
table.
Where Harmon and I get kind of drunk at our apartment and talk okay. about life.
You got the mistake
kind of
truck.
I kind of
You got the
it.
Truth
liberal.
Table.
Yeah, the mistake truck. I don't want to dap that.
What are you talking about? Those tacos are
it's,
great.
It's been dapped. It's been dapped.
Okay.
We're going to go with the table.
All right.
Cool.
The truth table.
How many people did you guys have over at Friendsgiving yesterday?
We had like 12 people, I think.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, but this was just at back at our
This was afterwards, yeah.
Oh, okay. We enjoyed some
good truth
beverages
and good truths.
That
water.
Might be from
Western
you
need
nefarious
opinion.
Place.
Go sit at that table.
Yep, that's for sure.
Yeah.
All right, I like it. MG, my guy, Mark Scrant.
I've got a daily dap and a request.
Yes.
The daily dap is to Cam Newton and his hats.
Oh, his hats are
his continual because it's kind of become one of the weekly storylines, at least for me, is after the Panthers game and he does the press conference to see what kind of hat he's wearing. And just a little while ago, as the Panthers were getting ready to head to Oakland for their game this week,
yes,
they put out one of those instead of saying business trip, which is annoying. It was just time to fly.
Yeah,
it's several a picture of several Panthers together, including Cam Newton, who's wearing this.
He looks like Smokey the Bear.
He looks like Smokey the Bear if Smokey the Bear were like a huge Rage Against the Machine fan or something. Like, I can't figure out what this hat is.
I was thinking it's more of a Kanye-inspired man with the yellow hat.
Maybe.
Man with the yellow hat.
Maybe. It's like Pharrell. It's like Pharrell and Curious George were just kicking it somewhere.
That's what it is. That's what it is.
Whatever. It's amazing. And so now my request is I want someone on the internet. Someone on the internet has to create, if it doesn't already exist, like a Tumblr or a Twitter feed or something just dedicated to Cam's hat.
Kind of like
I'm
the,
sure it
the
already has its own
J.
Twitter account. Everything has its own Twitter.
Well, I would want a Cam accessories because remember he had that tail that he
on
had
on his
that
shoes.
Yeah,
I mean, his shoes are also
the
big part
tail.
Of it.
No, he had the fox tail, just the straight up fox tail hanging out of his pocket.
Yes,
there was that as well. I don't know. We need a Cam accessory Twitter.
Oh, as we speak, there is a Cam Newton hats.
All right, there you go.
So there we go.
There you go.
Good job, internet.
Yep. WizKid from Wisconsin.
I got a daily dap. Martin Scorsese's new movie, Silence. The trailer came out this past week. It looks awesome. It's about a couple of guys that they lose, like old school religious people. They lose one of their guys in like Japan, I think, and they go on like a mission to convert people and try and find him. And it's got Liam Neeson, Andrew Garfield, Adam Driver. Looks amazing. I've heard a lot of good things. It's a passion project for him. It's a topic he's explored a lot. as a filmmaker, and I just can't wait to see it. So,
can I just say, I was thinking about the old Star Wars movie, the episode one, and you're like, if you were to get a cast of Liam Neeson, Ewan McGregor, and
Natalie Portman,
you're thinking
Samuel L. Jackson.
You're thinking there is no chance in hell this movie could be bad. It was bad.
Pretty good chance because it happened.
Right, there you go. Matt Franchise, Daily Dap.
Yeah, so I'm going to give a daily dap to OK Go, which is a band who creates amazing music videos.
Do.
If you've never seen any of their past music videos, just search them on Google. They're awesome. They had a famous one where they're all on dancing on treadmills.
Yep.
And then they had this crazy Rube Goldberg machine, which was basically a giant mouse trap to their video. And then they did like a zero gravity one a couple months ago.
Oh, yeah.
Their latest one just came out last week, and it's the title of the song is The One Moment.
Okay.
So they went with that theme, and in like the highest definition you can possibly shoot, they shot it's a 4.2 second video clip of just all this stuff exploding, colors, paint, guitars exploding, and then they slow that clip down for the length of the song, which is like 4 minutes.
Oh, interesting.
So it's like mega slow-mo of just 4.2 seconds of things happening, and it lasts the duration of the song, and it's awesome.
The guy who is the lead singer of OK Go is like a visual like mastermind.
Yeah.
It's great. I don't know how he conceptualized these things, but it's pretty cool.
Yeah. They're awesome. Their music videos are so good.
I will daily dap all these Rogue One trailers I'm starting to see. I'm getting fired up about it. Okay.
Nerds.
Wow. All right. I think it looks pretty good. I'm excited to see it. So there you go. That's the show. We appreciate you guys tuning in. I had to get in and out of there quick. I think we were pushing 2 hours on that pod. It's all good. For the WizKid from Wisconsin, Franchise, MG, Matt Harmon, and Matt Harmon's sister, both from West Virginia. I'm James Coe.
Not true.
See ya.
See you later.
You should stop that.
You're my wonder.
Thank you. Thank you. That was for America.
Yeah. That. I'm sorry. Do you have relevant points to make?
There seems to be an issue. My mic went off for a second. I'm sure that was an accident.
Oh yeah, it's a complete accident.
Technical error.